What would you say to the woman out there who's listening, who keeps thinking, I'd love to do something like that, and I'll do it when I have more time?
I would really, really encourage them just to take the leap. I can say WLS and Women in Title have changed my life, both personally and professionally. And we talked about how I started Women in Title, and I was doing it on my own for 2 years. And then the turning point was at your Women's Leadership Summit 2 years ago when I met Liz Castleman, and we instantly connected. Just knowing that she was there for the same reason I was, broke down that wall, let us be vulnerable with each other. And then being able to relate to those women on stage and all the women in that room talking to you during breaks, during sessions, at dinner, that was really, really powerful.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Keys to Real Estate. Well, it's no secret that women make up a significant majority of the title and settlement industry. But for a long time, that hasn't necessarily meant women had strong networks outside their own companies or clear avenues for mentorship, sponsorship, and professional development. My guest today decided to do something about that. Kim Whitlock is the founder of Women in Title, an organization that started with a simple idea: create a place where women in our industry could connect, ask questions, learn from one another, and support each other's careers. Today, Women in Title has grown to more than 40 chapters across the country. And Kim says one of the greatest benefits has turned out to be something women didn't always realize they were missing: relationships with other women in their own local markets. Kim and I talk about why those relationships matter so much, the difference between a mentor and a sponsor, why even very accomplished women still wrestle with imposter syndrome, and what employers, especially smaller title agencies, can do to develop talented women when they don't have the resources to build formal leadership programs themselves. And we talk about something Kim has learned personally. Sometimes career growth begins with doing the thing that makes you a little or a lot uncomfortable: walking across the room, introducing yourself, raising your hand, or simply saying, yes, yes, I can do that. And yes, I belong here in this room. So here's my conversation with Women in Title founder Kim Whitlock. Presenting sponsor for this season of Keys to Real Estate is TrustLink. TrustLink brings clarity and control to trust accounting for title and escrow companies. Their specialized solutions are designed to simplify reconciliation, strengthen compliance, and safeguard client funds, helping your operations run with a greater confidence and precision. With TrustLink, you gain access to a dedicated team of experts focused on daily three-way reconciliation, unclaimed property management, and tax reporting services, giving you the visibility and accuracy needed to stay ahead of complex regulatory requirements. TrustLink is also recognized as an elite provider by the American Land Title Association, highlighting their commitment to delivering trusted, high-quality solutions to the industry. Backed by more than 50 years of experience, they've built a reputation for reliability, accuracy, and service. With deep expertise, purpose-built solutions, and a focus on accountability, they are elevating the standard for trust accounting. The future of secure, streamlined trust accounting starts with TrustLink. So visit TrustLinkServices.com to learn more. Well, Kim Whitlock, welcome to Keys Real Estate. We're delighted that you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary. I'm really excited.
Well, I wanted to start with the origin story for Women in Title. I wonder, what were you seeing or hearing in the industry that made you as a founder say, well, there needs to be something called Women in Title?
Yeah, it was actually something I heard, and it was very specific. So most of my career, I've been working with underwriters, right? And as we all know, our industry is mostly made up of women. So while I was working at those underwriters, I developed really great, strong relationships with my agents, mostly female. And what I found was that they would feel more comfortable coming to me with some of their underwriting questions because they felt silly or dumb, if you will, asking some of those questions to their male underwriters, because that was intimidating back then. Back when I started, I didn't see a lot of female underwriters. I really looked up to the ones I saw, but you didn't see a lot, right? So those agents really got used to reaching out to me for guidance and questions. And I found that I really loved that part of my job. Well, you know, there was a point in my career where I got a wild hair in my hat, as I like to say, and I went back to the agent side, and I was running a title agency here in Denver. And one of those agents that I had developed a really good relationship called me, and she asked me for advice. And after that call was over, she said, gosh, I really feel bad now because I shouldn't ask you for advice because we're technically competition. And I was like, oh, no, don't feel that way. But when I hung up the phone, it just kind of sat with me. And I didn't like the way it feels. Liz Castleman, she always says, sit in the suck. And it was almost like, and this, that seems maybe kind of dramatic, but I did. I sat and I was like, well, I have this kind of pit in my stomach. And I think it was because I felt that that part of my job helping agents and helping those women was being taken away from me because now I'm an agent. So yeah, so I got the idea to start a group of women. And at that point, I just thought, support group, right? We're all in this together. We need support. And so I was at happy hour with a couple girlfriends and I said, hey, what do you think of this idea? And they said, girl, go for it. And so I did. And that's what happened. And we're almost 4 years in now. And look where we are.
Look where we are. Yeah. And everything has had such great growth. And we are seeing a response from women of, yes, I've always needed this, but felt awkward asking for it. And they don't want to feel special in a singled out negative way. But also, I've noticed, we've all noticed that there's a lot of growing interest now from employers and coworkers too, about being more intentional about connecting and developing the women across our industry. And I wondered if you would share some thoughts about that, because there seems to be an undeniable evolution going on.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on exactly what's triggering it, right? I mean, we're not the only women's group out there, and we've got, you know, large groups. Even underwriters have had these groups for a long time. But I think maybe the popularity of these groups and the realization from women in our industry that we deserve better, we want better, and we're speaking out. I think employers are just starting to take notice and realizing that, hey, even if I can't provide possible leadership training inside my own organization for women, there are organizations out there that I can promote my employees being a part of, and they can get that value and come back to our organization with those same tips and
yeah,
value.
Yeah, I agree. We're seeing that too. And it's encouraging. And I think too, there's an element of, we built it for ourselves. We didn't wait for somebody else to come along and say, well, what is this program you're going to give unto me? And we said, all right, here's a need. We're going to build it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been exciting. So when you were launching Women in Title, and throughout the process, what have women told you that they were looking for, or perhaps once they get in involved, didn't even realize that they were missing? What are some of those things you're hearing?
I think what's interesting is, I don't think they realized that they were craving and needed that camaraderie and collaboration with their local community. It's great that we are across the country now with 41 chapters across the states, but in those individual chapters locally, we are finding individuals who work at competing underwriters or agencies. And now those women are friends and they used to never even talk. Right. And I think that they really found power in the fact that right here in their hometown, they have women they can call at any moment and ask for help. No one ever thinks that they should call outside of their own organization and ask a question, right?
Yep.
But now they have this safe place where they can call and ask questions and get advice and just sometimes vent and share those struggles that you're having. Yeah. So I think that's mostly the biggest I've seen. Like, I expected women to enjoy being around each other and our workshops on public speaking, things like that. We thought that that was going to be popular because that's what we were being told. But what I've seen that not a lot of women are verbalizing, or they didn't in the beginning, again, was that local connection. Right.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, because even if you go to state LTA events and you see a woman over there, you see her up on stage, you go, boy, she's really something. And it was not first nature for us to go up, stick out our hand, shake it, introduce ourselves and say, hi, I'd like to be in some sort of relationship with you. Can we talk? Can we chat? Can I at least call you for ideas now and then? We just hadn't yet learned, I think, to do that. And so kind of greasing those skids a little bit. And then when you find that you are in an equal position with those women that you admire, then, okay, now you're really starting a much richer development path, has been my experience. I'm guessing it's probably yours too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I, at least personally for me, what something I've developed over time within this organization is that courage to reach out to women that I don't know. Locally, we have a really strong community now, but you know, I travel a lot of these organizations mm-hmm. and with different LTAs, and it's my favorite thing to just find one woman a day. Yep. That either I can just go up and introduce myself, I have no idea who she is, or I've seen her on social media, or I saw her talk, and just let her know that, like, I see you, I see what you're doing, I think you're doing great. And I really encourage other women to do the same.
Well, and I'm wondering if you found something that we have definitely found is, you know, as women, you're on your own journey and you think your challenges are uniquely your challenges, your pitfalls, your struggles. And even sometimes your wins are uniquely yours. And so you're not sure how relatable your stuff is to other people. And one of the things that we've really can't help but notice is women come into the room for the first time thinking that their stuff is so unique, and they find 10 or 100 other women that are going through either the exact same things or something very similar. And it unleashes something in you. I don't know if you have the phrase for it. I clearly don't, but there's a something there that
you hit it right on the money. I mean, we do. We grow up thinking that we're very, at least me, like my experience is unique. I keep things inside by nature because no one's going to relate to me. And I have found just what you said. I don't know what that right word is. We got to find something and maybe copyright it, right? But like,
yeah,
it is. Our stories are so similar and so parallel. And most women that I talk to have very, very similar scenarios and history and experience that I do. Be a different state, different roles. But it's really, really powerful when you hear another woman say, I know what you're talking about because I went through the same thing, or I had that same win, and wow, does it feel good. Like, I know what you're feeling right now. Congratulations. It's a really powerful.
It really is. And it can help also finding that strength in numbers can also help slay some demons that you thought were uniquely yours. One that we found, and I'd love to hear you expand on this or other things, is that to a woman, everyone has imposter syndrome. They feel it and it blows me away. I mean, even the most magnificent woman, imagine whatever your heroine in this industry or any other industry, that woman has imposter syndrome. That was a game-changing realization for me. What are some of the other things that you've realized that have kind of been game changers for you?
That's a really good one. Realizing that, yeah, like sometimes I look at myself with that imposter syndrome and I think maybe I'm not accomplished enough. Maybe I haven't done enough in my career that I'm still experiencing these feelings.
Yeah.
And then when I talk to a woman who I just have up on that pedestal and I admire, and she's like, look, I get that fear before I go on stage every single time. I remember Mary O'Donnell told me that she still, before she passed, she was said, she still gets those nerves before she goes on stage or even speaks on a webinar. And if you don't have them, that's when you should be worried. And I just took that to myself, like, yeah, you know, truly, truly.
Yeah, because fear or nervousness and excitement feel the same.
Yes.
And it's really, I'm happy to get those butterflies before taking a stage because it means I want to do well.
Yes, absolutely. And something I'm personally doing because I've been really trying to say yes this year to a lot of things that maybe scared me before is like public speaking. And I am trying to reframe, just like you said, that fear, like excitement can feel like fear. And so I'm really trying to reframe those feelings into, no, I'm actually just really excited for this. The fear is that because I want to do so well.
Yeah.
But if I just focus on the fact that I'm excited to be here and share my story, the fear kind of subsides a little.
It does. And the other half of feeling easier about public speaking is remembering that everyone in the audience wants you to do well, too. Like they're literally out there rooting for you. And then you go, okay, that pressure's off.
Absolutely. That's in the back of my head every time. They want you to win. They don't want to feel awkward when you're up there, you know? No, of course not. They're there to listen to you. They didn't leave the room when you got on stage. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly right. You're doing something right.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about connections within the groups more. And after kind of that first meeting where everybody realizes, oh, okay, there is fellowship here. There are kindred spirits here, similar paths that you're on. I'm wondering, after those initial connections are made, how have you seen relationships evolve, opportunities present themselves, mentoring? I want to help people through, because I know we have some women sitting out on the sidelines still that they're curious about the groups, but they're not sure what the experience is like. So I'd love to give you some time to just talk about, after you make those connections, then what happens?
Yeah. So what I love to see, what I hope every woman gets from this organization is that whether you're able to join virtually or in person, is that number one, you instantly feel like you have a home and a safe space to be yourself and express yourself. As soon as you do that, I think you're going to find those connections with other women. And I hope you walk away from those meetings feeling like you have somebody in your corner. You have a whole community in your corner to give you that courage to go back to your job. And maybe you deserve a raise. Maybe you want a promotion. Maybe you're looking for a different career altogether. Maybe you want to leave a title agency and work for an underwriter, vice versa. I hope that you find someone in our community who can talk to you about their experience. I think, you know, at this point, this community has grown so far past me as an individual, but I'm still very much the face of it. So I get a lot of women who will reach out to me just for career advice. And I'm like, hey, I'm not perfect, but you know, I want to encourage you to go for what you want. And I hope that everyone gets that out of this, truthfully. And then, you know, on a more practical level, we have workshops and webinars where you can take, you know, actionable tips, have public speaking, reading a PM. We rolled out a mentorship program. We're about to announce who got selected. I'm really excited about those. Those are more tangible things. But at the heart of our community, the strength is really about that connection with other women and feeling like you have that army behind you. Because I feel that way. I get on stage somewhere and there may be two women in the crowd. But I know that I've got an army of women across the country who are rooting for me no matter what. And I want every single woman in this organization to feel that way.
Well, that's such a, I love that you mentioned that. I'd like to double click on that if we can, because obviously people have opinions about mentor mentee. And if you know how to use that relationship, right, great. If you don't, you're probably not going to find as much value of it. But I know one of the things that you talk a lot about, and I love it. You talk about having champions and sponsors, people who will promote you in rooms that you're not in. For women that haven't heard about that before, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think it's a really great distinction between a mentor and a sponsor. And I think take away your thought about a sponsor who's giving you money to like sponsor a baseball team. Take that out of the picture for a minute. And when you think of the traditional mentor-mentee relationship, I look at it as that's someone who's going to, you know, give you more practical advice about this is how you do this particular thing, right? Like, I grew up in this industry as a title searcher and examiner. I had great mentors, taught me how to search, exam, do it the best I could. But then there have been men and women who have sponsored me, and I didn't truly understand the definition of that word till later in my career. But what they were doing was, just like you said, saying my name in rooms I wasn't in, or grabbing my hand, not literally, and bringing me into those rooms with them. Even though I had that imposter syndrome, why am I here? Like, do I deserve to be here? And they're like, absolutely, you do. They bring you along and almost, you know, push your comfort level a little bit because they believe in you. And something that somebody said during a conference that you and I were both at was that a sponsor is someone who's willing to tie their reputation to yours. Because they believe in you so much.
Yes. And that's such a key difference. And you and I have talked before about how men, and I want to talk about men a little bit, especially because they're male. We need male allies. And what we're finding, I'm guessing you are finding as well, is that we have these male allies, whether they be owners or hiring managers or whatever, and they want to support women. They're not quite sure what that looks like, or they feel awkward about it. And there are a group of men too that once they see what this is about, they go, well, did you guys not really have an avenue for that? And we're like, no, we really, one hadn't evolved naturally. And that's why we're being intentional and creating these things now. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, let's talk to the male business owners, for example, about why it's important for them to get there, to encourage their women to participate in organizations like this.
Yeah. So, you know, as we said earlier, like our industry is mostly women, right? So just by default, your company is going to benefit if you're helping women develop professionally. Your business is most likely run by women behind the scenes. Hopefully, some of those businesses are run by women as well. But for those men-led companies and male leadership, it's just, to me, it's a no-brainer, you know, like 80% women, let's support them, help them with their leadership skills, their interpersonal skills, their confidence. They can come back to your shop and do a better job for you, your customers, and the industry as a whole, truly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree so much. And, you know, every year as a hiring manager in the closing department, I do everybody's annual review. And to a person, we'd put down professional development goals. And then almost all of them would come back the next year if I left it to them and say, oh, I didn't get that done. And so having a curriculum, having a place that you can plug them into can really make a difference between, okay, what's the review look like this year versus next year? Oh, look, I actually grew in these four areas that we talked about.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point because I kind of mentioned earlier, some of the larger companies in our industry, like the big underwriters, they have internal programs for leadership, for mm-hmm. women and for men. But mm-hmm. Most of our industry is mom and pop, little shops, even bigger shops that just don't have the resources or the know-how or the time to have a women's leadership program. So instead of, you know, spinning your wheels and researching, hey, we're all so busy still this market. We're working hard for every single deal, every single dollar. So instead of trying to recreate that wheel and do it internally, send them to one of our groups. Because we're doing it, we have a proven track record, And we're here to support them. Like, think of us as an add-on to your business. We're here to help you. We're here to help the industry. So,
yeah. And it's a brilliant point, especially with the smaller agencies who are just running 90 to nothing to, you know, get the transactions out the door. And it can be hard because we all know how to spot young potential, young talent. We don't always have the time to invest ourselves in developing them or even sometimes know what it is they need because they're giving us the, I am a good soldier. And it can be hard to find that. But if you can put them in an environment where you can offer that, you know, sometimes you can't give them the pay raise right now, or you can't move them up in management right now. But if you're still developing these people, they won't get fatigued and tired and exhausted and quit you, which they will do if you're not feeding them something besides the nuts and bolts of their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We preach. We're in the same choir.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. That's for sure.
All right. I want to zoom out a little bit and ask you, if we were having this conversation 5 years from today and Women in Title had been wildly successful, tell me what's different, not just about the organization, but about the title and settlement industry as well.
Yeah, I think about that a lot when, you know, our board is discussing our long-term goals. I think most importantly, I hope in 5 years that women feel safe, they feel supported and confident to go for what they want in our career. I would love to see more women at the top. I'd love to see more women in the C-suite. And I hope that the things that we're doing in this organization and organizations like yours with WLS, that women find those skills and that confidence to go after those things. I still expect in 5 years that our industry is going to be mostly women. But hey, I've been seeing some young men get into our business as well. But ultimately, I just hope every woman starts to feel a little bit more safe and comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you mentioned WLS, and we do have the big conference coming up in November. And I'm just, with all these opportunities, my hope for women is that they can become and are tooled to have much more intentionality in their career. It's much less about what happens to them or what, you know, somebody happened to mention to them, and that they're starting to really much more craft, design, plan, and execute. So whether it's, you know, WIT or HER or WLS, what would you say to the woman out there who's listening, who keeps thinking, I'd love to do something like that, and I'll do it when I have more time?
I would really, really encourage them just to take the leap. I mean, I can say with all certainty that WLS and Women in Title have changed my life, both personally and professionally. So earlier, you know, we talked about how I started Women in Title, and I was doing it on my own for 2 years. And then the turning point was at Women's Leadership Summit 2 years ago when I met Liz Castleman, and we instantly connected. We knew we were both there for the same reason, right? Which kind of broke down the wall for us. Because even 2 years ago, I was still more timid about reaching out to women I didn't know. Much better at it now, but even back then I was more, right? So just knowing that she was there for the same reason I was, broke down that wall, let us be vulnerable with each other. And then going through those couple days of those sessions and seeing those women on stage. And again, back to what you said about our experiences being the same, very similar. Being able to relate to those women on stage and all the women in that room talking to you during breaks, during sessions, at dinner. Like, that was really, really powerful. And Women in Title, same thing, right? Like, I have found so much power in this army that I keep saying. And I have real friends who fly out here when I'm having a tough time. Like, I know it can be hard sometimes to take a leap, especially to leave your desk if you're an escrow professional. But I just really encourage you just one time just to take a leap, join a meeting, join WLS, join Women in Title, join wherever it is that you feel you find your people. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's low risk. Do it once and see what happens.
And I wish we could say, we'll give you a refund if it doesn't work out for you, but no one's ever asked for one because, again, and it's that thing, and you're right. We do have to find that word. You know it when you experience, and everything changes. Everything changes.
Yep.
Well, you guys are supporting WLS in a big way. I don't know if you want to talk about your presence there. I know you're doing the charity event.
Yes. Yes, love to share that. So, you know, one of our big pillars at Women in Title is giving back to the community. A lot of our chapters participate with local charities where they live. And then we like to do bigger things at bigger organizations like or conferences like All to One. So this year, we are, thank you to all of our genuine sponsors. And those are the money sponsors, right?
Yeah.
But thanks to those amazing sponsors who are helping us run this organization, we are able to now help and support and be part of the charity giving back piece of WLS that is speaks to our heart so much. So yes, this year we are sponsoring the charity initiative. We're working through exactly what that's going to be, but I know it's going to be amazing and I can't wait.
We're looking forward to it too. And we're going to put links in the show notes to the Women in Title information, to ways to reach Kim. Audience, if you need that, we'll also put a link out to the Women's Leadership Summit information in case you're wanting to join us all in November. It's going to be another banger this year. We're looking forward to it. Kim, before I let you go, I've started asking every woman I talk to two questions. Can I give you a lightning round two questions? One.
Let's go for it.
What's one piece of personal or professional advice you wish you'd followed sooner?
I truly, truly wished I learned to step outside of my shell earlier. I've always been a timid kind of introvert, but as soon as I realized that the more outwardly authentic I was, stepping out of that comfort zone, the more of my people gravitated towards me. So yeah, I really encourage just, I know you guys, I know those title examiners are sitting at your desk, those females
listening.
No, you just sitting there and thinking, you know, you're an introvert too, you can't do that, but please do it. It's the best thing you could possibly do. And I wish I did it years ago.
Because the biggest thing you fear as an introvert, I think a lot of times, is the small talk. And what you have to realize is there's like no small talk in this. It is hi, who are you? Where do you want to get stronger? What have you been hiding?
Exactly.
Let's punch through all that stuff. There's no small talk.
There's no small talk. And also, there's no rejection.
There's
no
rejection.
I tell people, there has been not one time I've reached out to a woman, extended my hand, and got rejection back. It's always been met with kindness and love and friendship. So I really encourage others.
It's not so scary, everybody. We're okay. All right. The second lightning round question, I want you to finish this sentence for me. Every woman in our industry should be part of a professional development community because
they deserve support. They deserve better.
Well, amen to you on that. Thank you for creating this wonderful apparatus for them to get that support and confidence that they deserve. Thanks for being part of women's development. It's such an important matter. And we all are thrilled as professional women in this industry to see it getting the traction, the time, the attention, and the sponsorship in both meanings of that word that it deserves. Thanks, Kim, for joining us. We will see you in San Antonio in November.
Thank you for having me, Mary. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks again, Kim. What you're doing is so important. One of my favorite ideas from this conversation is Kim's description of sponsorship. Someone who says your name in a room you're not in and is willing to tie their reputation to yours because they believe in you. That's different from mentoring. And I think it gives us all something to think about. Who has done that for you? And just as importantly, whose name are you saying when they aren't in the room? Kim also offered a challenge to the women who keep thinking they'll get involved in professional development when work slows down or when they have more time or when it feels a little more comfortable. Just try it once. Attend the meeting. Go to the conference, introduce yourself to the person you don't know who's sitting next to you or is up on the stage speaking. Find your people and see what happens. We'll have all the information about Women in Title in today's show notes, along with information about the Women's Leadership Summit, where Kim and the Women in Title will be joining us in San Antonio this November. And I'll leave you with Kim's answer to the question I asked her at the end of our conversation. Why should every woman in our industry be a part of a professional development community? She said brilliantly, because they deserve support. They deserve better. Thanks for listening to Keys to Real Estate. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.